welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And today we have a special edition of the podcast. Joining us is Lori Wright, who is the Executive Pastor of Vision here at Christ Fellowship. And she will join me and Bruce to talk about Christ Fellowship's vision. We have a great conversation about what the vision is, how it came to be, and what the hope is for the future. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And today is a special episode because we have a very special guest. Lori Wright is here. Lori is our Executive Pastor of Vision. Is that right, Lori?
That is correct.
I got that right.
Yes.
So Lori's here in addition to Bruce because we are having a special message this Sunday. In fact, we had one last week and this week focused on Christ Fellowship's vision. And Jaime is preaching it, but he couldn't be here today. So it was a really good opportunity to invite Lori to come in and share straight from her heart, because she lives and breathes and works the vision every day. This is her passion. And so I really thought it would be great to hear directly from her. You know, what is this vision? What are we talking about? What are we trying to do? What are we hoping to accomplish through this? So let's start, though, at the very beginning. I've heard that's a very good place to start. And we're going to start with Bruce. Bruce, why do we have a vision?
Thanks. So yeah, the original vision was to start a church. I thought that'd be a good idea. But really, to build a church in McKinney to reach people who aren't in a church. Mm-hmm. And then as the years have gone by, really the Lord has brought different visions into my mind to share with our church. We've had about two before this. The last one was 2010, which was a vision to multiply. And this is the very first vision that came not just really from me, but from our whole team, from a really mixed, wide variety of people. And a vision is a picture of a preferable future. So your mission is your enduring directive from God that really all churches essentially should share about the same mission. They say it in different ways, but essentially the same mission. But your vision is the next mountain to climb. It's the picture of a preferable future right in front of you. And so usually visions for a church last about 5 to 10 years. And
wait, let me ask you though, why do churches need different vision? I mean, why don't we all just have the same vision?
Yeah, great question. And so a lot of it is contextual factors. So we could say that we want to help fight gang warfare, but there really aren't gangs in McKinney as far as I know. But in some parts, some cities, if we were in the middle of Chicago or New York, that could very well be a great vision for us. Mm-hmm. And so you want to look at the contextual factors in the area in which God has placed you, where you live, and look the gifts and abilities, the uniqueness of your church. Mm-hmm. So different churches, like different ones of us, where our fingerprints are all different, we're all unique people. Every church has a unique set of gifts and abilities where they bring value. That's why we need so many different churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's cool about the local church, right? Is we are all united as the Big C Church under Jesus Christ with the same mission to reach people with the love of Christ. But because he's gifted us individually and put us in different places at different times in history, then we can have unique visions.
That's right. My daughter's church is located on the UT campus in Austin. Mm-hmm. Their vision,
very student focused,
hopefully involves students. I would think so, because that's where they're located. In Florida, you might have a senior adult ministry if you're in certain parts of Florida where there's a huge retirement community.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like you said, I love the fact that it really says that we want to honor the gifts and abilities that the Lord has brought to our church.
That's right.
As we want to seek the Holy Spirit's empowerment to really live out his vision for us where we are at. Okay, well, Ms. Wright.
Yes.
What is our vision?
Our vision is to reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction by having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us.
Okay, well, let's unpack that a little bit. So you said a vision is a picture of a preferred future. So I hear that in the very beginning of the vision, which is what?
Reducing loneliness, anxiety, and addiction, which I believe, and we believed when we went through the process, that those are the areas where our community struggles the most.
Okay, so you just sort of looked out in the community. You didn't have to search really hard to find evidence of loneliness, anxiety, and addiction right here, even though we live in a relatively speaking affluent community.
Yes, we have really our communities made up of nice homes, a lot of them around golf courses. But we know that there are struggles behind the doors of those homes.
Yeah. One of the first words we used was overwhelmed. Mm. That is, we engage with people. So many people say they're overwhelmed, from sixth graders to retired folks. But then digging underneath, these issues really rose to the surface as huge issues in our marriages, in our families, in our schools, throughout our community.
Mm-hmm. So the first part of the vision sort of paints that what we are boldly asking the Lord for is the grace to give us the ability to actually see those things reduced in our community.
And lots of visions you painted positively. We identified the problems, but and that we want to reduce those. But certainly from a picture of a positive future, we want to see loving relationships, mm-hmm. where people aren't lonely. We want to see people filled with peace, not anxiety. And we want to see people free from addictions that that enslave them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the next part of the vision?
To experience Christ, have meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us. That is the heart of it.
So tell me a little bit about how that came about. Like, why was the focus on meaningful conversations?
People are disconnected. They're lonely. And I want to go back when we identified those three things, mm-hmm. Lisa,
yeah.
The loneliness, anxiety, and addiction. Keep in mind that was in 2019.
That was even before COVID.
Yes. And Bruce mentioned it. It took a lot of different people we all split up into different rooms and prayed and sought the Lord for wisdom. It was a very spiritual process.
And it was multi-months. We really worked on it through maybe 6 months in 2019, but we took a vision retreat where, as Lori's talking about going in different rooms, we got away off-site with a group of, 12, 15 people, some staff, some not staff, men, women, old, young, people who'd been at the church a short time, long time, and wrestled together with a skilled facilitator, a consultant we brought in to help us prayerfully, carefully really work through this process.
Mm-hmm. The heart of it being meaningful conversations, I think, is refreshing in some ways, right? Because I think a lot of people, when they think of big churches like ours, they think programs. They think, okay, there's sermons on Sunday, and then there's youth group on some night a week, and there's small groups, and they think of this very programatized thing. And I feel like the focus on meaningful conversation tries to say, yes, we have programs here, because we do have all those things, and we're proud of all those things. We're working hard at those things. But I think we're saying that's not the heart.
Yeah, the heart is really that everybody in our church body that calls Christ Fellowship Homes has a sphere of influence around them that we don't see on Sundays, mm-hmm. that they can reach. And that's where the meaningful conversations come in, that you can have those and you can listen and you can pray for and you can have the conversations outside the walls of this building.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we all know that it is hard to get underneath the surface in a lot of our relationships. A lot of us would say, yes, I have coworkers. Yes, I have, people I talk to in my son's soccer games. We have a variety of people in our lives, mm-hmm. but how many people do we go beneath the weather and how the Cowboys are doing? We shouldn't talk about that.
Lisa,
sorry,
really?
I didn't mean to bring grief into the conversation.
But really, we wanted to go underneath or be more concrete than sometimes some words that can sound abstract, like we want to impact others or make a difference or evangelism or discipleship. All those are good. How do you do that? Well, you have to build a relationship. Well, how do you build a relationship? And we thought, at the core, at a concrete level, you can't impact somebody without talking to them. Mm. You can't build a relationship or evangelize or disciple without having a conversation. So we thought, sort of at a core, concrete level, whether you're talking about a marriage, kids, friends, work, school, sports, if you're going to impact somebody, you have to have a meaningful conversation.
Yeah, and I think that's where the phrase that you hear that's in our lobby now, be known, be loved. Talk a little bit about that, Lori. How does that fit in with the vision?
Well, it's really our tagline that, you know, we're known and loved, and we want other people to feel known and loved. And you do that by having the conversations with them and listening to them, you know, digging a little deeper, as you said, you know, what's on your heart or what are they struggling with? And there's many times when people stay at a superficial level or can, and then you ask the right question, and they open up and you find out what's really going on. And that's where you can, where the ministry happens.
Yeah. And I think the last part of the vision is, of course, in my mind, the most important part, which is that we want people to experience Christ in us. And people can't experience Christ in us if we aren't experiencing Christ.
Amen. And I think I'm going to, back in 2019, prior to the vision, was our first 21 days of prayer in that January. And that's also when we prayed that God would revive our church, would revive our church body. And I believe he answered that prayer in the fall of that year when he gave us the vision.
Yeah.
So the vision came 10 months after our first 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we see that as just divine. And the experience Christ language also reflects our experience in 21 days that we had, all of us, such a supernatural, experiential, transforming experiential experience with God that we want other people to have that. We want other people to experience the reality and power and love of Jesus Christ.
And then we want ultimately to point people to him. Before we got started, we talked a little bit about some misconceptions about the vision. And I think one of them is, if you are someone who's been in churches a while, you recognize the code words, you know, you read between the lines. And so to some of those people, this would sound like just evangelism, like an evangelism program. Like, this is just how we're supposed to witness to people. We're supposed to take our little booklets and, you know, go through the booklets with people. And is that what this vision is? Is it just about evangelism?
It's so much more than that, Lisa. If we're the church, if we're Christ's church and we're his body, and it's his mission is lived out through us. So it's through listening, it's through praying for people. It's not complicated. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me this past Sunday, I don't want to do this because I don't want to be held accountable for some conversation I have with someone, or, you know, I'm not equipped to do it. And I said, you are. I mean, you know, you start with praying for someone, and everybody as a Christ follower is equipped to do this, yeah, whether they know it or not. It's not complicated.
Well, and you said to me before we started, everyone's evangelizing all the time.
Exactly.
You may not know it, but you're a witness for Jesus. If people, you know that you go to church.
Yes.
If you're one of those quote unquote Christians in their mind, then you're an evangelist, because
yes,
they're looking at your life and going, you're reflecting, you know, who you say you believe in.
That's right. The good, the bad, and yes,
and all everything in between. So again, say it one more time. Say the vision for us one more time.
To reduce loneliness, anxiety, and addiction by having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us.
Okay. So we were going to launch the vision, and then COVID happened.
Yes.
So that caused a little bit of a pause, because everything became about how do we do church without being in person.
We had all the materials prepared 1 week before COVID stopped things. So it was going to be in the fall of 2020. I mean, spring of 2020,
March.
We were going to launch it. And we got delayed by a little over a year by COVID. And so we really didn't launch until the RISE conference in August of 2021.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. And we had everything prepared for it, and it was canceled.
But I think in between that time, right, Lori did come on board, or because she was on staff, but her role changed. And that was at the...
She was my executive assistant and left me.
She did. And then Bruce had to make his own calendar invites, and he's been sunk ever since.
I've been upset ever yeah, since.
It was amazing because, you know, I was part of the vision process. I was part of the team, but it was really more in a supportive role and setting things up and made sure we had snacks. But yet I was also served as part of the team. And
I believe you took your new role in March of 2021.
That's probably, yeah, I believe that's right.
So almost 2 years ago.
And it was, what a blessing.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that, Bruce, because you were in those conversations, and
so, yeah, the elders were the absolutely, ones. Absolutely. You know, you may not think about it now. That was one of the most by faith decisions the elders have ever made. Mm-hmm. It was. So let me just try to explain why that's such a big deal. So we have a staff, and there's always more needs, as you know, and usually a church like ours, you're looking for a few more people to help with children's ministry or student ministry or all the digital video communications ministries require a lot of people. And so when we came with this vision, we were talking to the elders, and they said to me, Bruce, we need someone to run with the vision on staff. I'm like, okay, well, who should we give it to? They said, no, we shouldn't give it to anybody. I'm like, what do you mean? They said, well, everyone's already busy working a 40-hour job at the church plus. Doing something plus, and how could they add it to their schedule? Well, I'm thinking, you cannot hire someone just for vision and, maybe a contractor or a part-time person. They said, no, we want to hire a full-time person for vision. I am thinking, you are kidding me. And then they said, we want it to take it to the highest level so that person has authority over the entire staff and can drive the vision, or else it won't go forward. So they made the by faith bold decision to hire Lori full-time at an executive level, giving her authority over the entire staff to drive the vision forward. That is faith.
Yeah. And that's their really strong belief that this vision is from the Lord.
They said, we want to put money behind this vision, put people behind this vision. And Lori is one of the most experienced, professional, capable, veteran people on the staff. You've been on the staff how long, Lori?
I think 14 years.
14 years. Yeah. And has worked directly with me. So Lori had a window. You had a window, Lori, of seeing the whole church through senior pastor eyes as walking in step with me one by one. And then had lots of visibility to the elders that gave her insight at a high level that enabled you to step into this role. And we honestly believe, sitting around the elder table, that there is no way the vision would have gone forward the way it has apart from Lori. God's the biggest factor. God does it. The Spirit Amen. Does. But humanly, the most significant factor in the vision going forward is Lori Wright.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow.
So let's talk. So now we've lived with this vision as a staff for almost 3 years now, and then we've lived with it sort of in public amongst our people for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, year and a half, 2 years.
So what's been the fruit of that, Lori? What have you seen? I mean, you've been the person who's really been, you know, feet on the ground, encouraging everyone to go yeah. forward with it. So how has it shaped how we do ministry?
You know, Lisa, it has just been such a blessing. The stories that I get to hear are truly encouraging, and it is making a difference. I overheard a lady this last Sunday say she's new to the church, moved here from California, and she said, you know, I know I'm new here, but I have an opportunity to be part of the story, mm-hmm. of this story. And it just really, she is so excited to be able to share this message with other people, to pray for people. I had another lady that said to me, Lori, I was so hard for me to move here from my church, my home church, but I now realize that I am living out the mission that God has for me. Mm-hmm. And I never would have had that experience. That is because of the vision. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, a lot of churches, great churches, but our church is unique in that we are helping people fully realize the mission that God has called them to. Mm-hmm. And it is impacting other people. They are taking ownership of the vision, and they're personally relating to other people and helping them walk this life.
Yeah, talk a little bit about CF Encouragers, because I know that's part of the vision, or it's an initiative as part of the vision, but I think a lot of people still don't know what it is and how yeah. they can become one.
And I'm just going to share a word of getting there and then let Lori yeah. explain all that, is that we wrestled with the vision in terms of how do you measure it? Mm-hmm. So how do you know if we're successful? And we spent hours wrestling around thinking, well, do you count conversations? Well, what counts as a conversation? And do you count how many people you had a conversation with? And you know, the conversation ranged from, well, if you can't measure it, if you can't, you know, it's all
what makes it meaningful yeah, or not? How do you define right. that?
Yeah. And it's not what you expect, what you inspect. And if you're really going to take something seriously, as many of you would do in your companies, well, you've got to measure it and you've got to have metrics. And how do you know if you're really successful in whatever endeavor you're engaged in? And then the other side, it's now, wait a minute.
These are people.
These are people. We're a family.
We're not making widgets.
We said, maybe we measure it by stories. Well, that could feel soft to some people. So it was really fascinating about personalities because, you know, not caricaturing any of you, but, you know, sort of an engineering or accounting person is like really interested in counting the things objectively, or a person who likes accountability and goals and measurement and, you know, how many pounds do you weigh and how much weight did you lift and how fast did you run? And other people are made very differently. And they said, that would just destroy me. Like if I have to keep some tally or use some sales software to track my contacts, it feels really salesy and yucky. And we don't want to do that at all. And so we really wrestled that through. And somewhere in there, we came up with the idea of CF encouragers.
Yes. So our CF encouragers are people who raise their hand, so to speak, and said, I'm all in. I'm going to commit to have intentional, meaningful conversations with the same person over a period of time.
Okay.
So it's more than a casual conversation at the grocery store or just, you know, it is a little deeper. It's a regular meeting at least once a month with someone that they are building into, that there's, we also have an informal discipleship guide to help people along with that, but it's not required. It's really just really more of a commitment to have that conversation with the same people. So there's some growth there. There's some accountability there. You can go a little deeper in the conversations. And we have right now 458 people who have signed up to be a CF encourager.
Mm-hmm. And the goal there is just, I remember when Bruce kind of started talking about this, is a lot of people would say, you know, I really want a mentor. I really want somebody who's pouring into me, discipling me, helping me grow in Christ. You know, I think a lot of us would like that. But it's always awkward. Like if you've ever been in some kind of company or in a church where they paired you with somebody, you know, sometimes the pairings are awkward and you're like, well, we really don't have anything in common or anything to talk about, but I'm supposed to meet with this person. So it was an avoidance of that, acknowledging that's a need that people want. People want somebody who knows them and who's building into them and who cares about them and wants to hear what's going on. Yep. And also will hold them a little bit accountable.
Right back to our motto, be known and be loved.
Right.
And really, mm-hmm. frankly, another impetus to this was COVID. So during COVID, I began to worry about each one of you. And as a shepherd to say, where are the sheep? And are you okay? Are you sick? Did you get COVID? Do you still have your job? What's happening with your kids? Are you in church? Because we weren't having church. It was all digital, right. So I wasn't seeing people. And I said, we need to call everybody. Well, that seemed monumental. There are over 6,000 people who consider Christ Fellowship their church home, maybe 7,000. And so trying to call everybody, then you get a phone call from a number you don't recognize and you don't answer the phone. And so, but then I thought, but I want to know where, like I thought, you know, if we had a church of 20 families, small church, 60 people, I would know what's going on in every family's life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would make a phone call to all 20 families and say, how are you doing? Is anybody in the hospital? Is everything okay? How are you in God, you know? And I thought, we need to do that for every person at Christ Fellowship. Everyone at Christ Fellowship should have somebody at least once a month saying, hey, how you doing? How's it going? How can I pray for you? And we wanted to avoid scary words like mentor, coach, mm-hmm. disciple that carry so much baggage with them. And so we thought, well, the simplest level is encourage. Could you encourage somebody else, whether they're a Christian or not a Christian? So my dream would be that every single person at Christ Fellowship would have someone who encourages them on a monthly basis, who knows what's happening in their life, who's praying for them, who's aware, cares for them and encourages them.
Yeah. One of the challenges of having a larger church is people do feel like they fall through the cracks sometimes.
Right.
I mean, there's always those people who are ultra plugged in and you know, you know they're okay. But there are people who are sort of, you know, maybe a little less engaged, or maybe they travel for work, or maybe they have little bitty kids and so they don't make it to everything and you just don't see them for a while. And it's like that, you go, well, did they leave the church or are something wrong? Or, you know, do they need something? And so just having a CF encourager through an organic relationship allows you to have somebody in your life that will check on you.
And right? It's such a simple thing to be an encourager. Really, we have over 450. I'd love for everyone at Christ Fellowship to be a CF encourager. I know some people don't like labels and you feel like, but I'm already busy. Well, that doesn't do have been busy. It's that all of us should be engaged in meaningful conversations with somebody. maybe the person who's your person you're encouraging is your spouse or a really good friend or, you know,
chances are you're already doing it.
Right.
It's just a matter of helping someone be known and loved and for you to be known and loved by someone.
Yeah. And maybe, it's being intentional about
it. Yes.
And maybe you're willing to encourage someone at the church who doesn't have somebody to encourage them. Mm-hmm. Just to say, yeah, I'll call and check in once a month and just see how folks are doing. Or maybe we'll have a coffee or exchange text messages or, you know, it's to be there for folks. It just, it so hurts me when someone will say to me, I'll contact them or ask how they're doing. And they'll say, well, we left the church 3 months ago and no one's contacted us and no one must care about us and we don't matter. Like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And I mean, between first service and second service and online, I didn't know what was happening and I'm sorry. And I feel terrible. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we don't even know, like someone will be in the hospital or have a surgery and we don't even know. I mean, there's not a system or a mechanism, but I want someone to know that someone's having surgery or having a baby or got a promotion or, you know, and be able to pray for each other and care for each other. We're to be a body, a family.
Right.
Well, we're about to start the book of James, the sermon series. And so I'm already, you know, knee deep in commentaries reading about James. And one of the things that comes through the book so clearly is that we need to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. I mean, that's kind of the overarching theme of James. And that's really what we're talking about here. We're saying, okay, look, Jesus was very clear. Paul was very clear. Peter's very clear. James is very clear. What we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be the body. We're supposed to make people feel known and loved, both as brothers and sisters in the family of God. And also we're supposed to be reaching out to invite other people into the family of God. And so that's really at the heart of our vision.
Yes.
Is like, well, how do we do that? Well, we talk to people. We check on them. We pray for them. We let them know that they're known and loved. We invite them to know more about Jesus and we commit to walking alongside them. And that's really what this is all about.
It is. And I think one of the hardest things is the aspect of listening well.
We're not good listeners,
are we? We're not good listeners. And I've heard it, you know, just the other day, and people are saying, well, you know, people don't listen to me and I'm trying to tell them and they, you know, they know where they are with Christ, but so they want to share the love of Christ. Well, I said, sometimes the best way to share or to be heard is to listen first and listen to what people are struggling with.
Don't you think Jesus was just a really good listener?
Amen.
Don't you think Jesus just sat with
people? He's our model.
And let people talk to him and tell them what they were feeling and what they were thinking and what their fears were. And you know, he just listened.
Yes.
And then of course he also had wisdom to share, but first you got to know where people are at.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. So where are we going next with this? So this has been our vision. I think originally it was like, well, this is a 5-year vision, but I think, you know, we're already a couple of years in, and what are you guys thinking about it?
We are thinking about how the vision relates to us personally in our homes, and realizing that with COVID and the after effects of the pandemic, we're seeing a lot of marriages in trouble. Mm. Even just this last week in our prayer request, we had a tremendous number of marriages on the brink of divorce even. So we thought, you know, we need to have meaningful conversations in our marriages. And then what about parents and kids and the kind of conversations that moms and dads have with their sons and daughters? And we need to focus on those. And not just for people in our church, but in across our community, there is a relational breakdown in our marriages and in among parents and kids in our families and our homes. And we're seeing that evidenced in the most serious level with divorce, domestic abuse, suicide, kids acting out in all sorts of ways. And underneath it is, are there meaningful conversations, even with those closest to us?
Children are getting a lot of information other places, and they're listening to other conversations, and people are pouring into them. And I can see a real value with bringing the vision home and sharing it amongst those that know us best. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's the hardest.
Yeah. Sometimes the loneliest people are just because you're in a family.
Right. That's right.
Doesn't mean you're not lonely or addicted or anxious.
People lonely in a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, husbands and wives not connected at all. And we want to help you in that situation, help the people in our community. And some people I find with CF encouragers, I've heard some people say, well, I don't want to be a CF encourager because they don't want to be tracked or kept track of or held accountable or something. We just want to encourage you.
Yeah.
And help you to do what you're already doing or trying to do and do it better. And then I've heard some people say, well, but what is a meaningful conversation? Well, it's a conversation that's meaningful. Not sure how to. It's like you said, it's something beyond the weather and the Cowboys and whatever else. It's it doesn't. So people say, well, do you have to share the gospel? Well, no, you might at some point. Do you have to bring up Jesus? Not every meaningful conversation is Jesus in or church. It's a conversation about the things in life that matter to people, right. And so. It starts, as Lori said, a lot of it is not about talking, it's about listening.
Yes.
And so a meaningful conversation may involve you saying very little, but just asking good questions and listening well.
All right. Well, Lori, I want to give you the last word. What would you like to encourage as a CF encourager yourself? How would you like to encourage our listeners?
Well, take the first step, and sign up as a CF encourager.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get to come to the breakfast in
yes,
a couple of weeks.
Yes, we have breakfast on February 25th.
If someone wants to sign up, how do they sign up?
Hey, just email me, lwright@cfhome.org. I will answer your email. Would love to have you there. Just to, like Bruce said, to encourage you, to pray for you. You know a lot of people that we don't know. There is a circle of people that are around you right now that God would like you to reach out to. Mm-hmm. And our prayer is that you would do that. And we want to equip you to do that well. So we have a wonderful family of CF encouragers. And
we have a Facebook group.
We have a Facebook group, yes.
Join the team. And I'm going to be at that breakfast. Would love to see you there.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, would you pray for us?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Lisa and for Bruce. And thank you for our church, Father. Thank you for the vision that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to fulfill the mission and the vision of the church, Father, by each and every one of us, and that we would reach out to the people all around us in our community, in our churches, in our schools, where we work. Lord, make it apparent to us. Put these people on our hearts, Father, so that we would reach out to them and listen and pray for them and help them, Father, to grow and closer to you, Father. And I just pray for lots of meaningful conversations in the weeks and the days and the months ahead, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We'll see you back next week.